This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Working Class on Deercast. Welcome. Another episode. Ross Bigger, you're back already.
Back again.
We struggled to get you on because you're working.
Yep.
And then once we have you on, you kill a deer.
Yep.
And we're able to get you right back on.
Right.
We're kind of cramming a little bit, though.
It's all right. It's
good. We got to record this and you got to go because you got other hunters coming in town.
Yep.
Hanging out.
So, yeah, it's a little busy. It's a busy time of year for everybody, I think. But
it's very busy.
Yep.
Our families are feeling it.
Yep.
Work is probably feeling it for you guys that are taking time off.
Yep.
But it's go time.
Yeah, it's go time.
So it's the time we count down for.
Yep.
So let's talk about it, man, because as we talked in the other episode with you, we actually use my buck as a cover art because that's what I just killed. So we use that as a reason to talk about that buck. But hey, both of us Illinois boys got bucks down.
That's right.
Good eights.
Yep. Nice eights.
Well, I was a nine, technically, I guess.
Yeah.
So yours is almost a nine.
Yeah, it was almost. It was close, but.
So let's talk about it, because you actually got out, and you're hunting in November, which I'm excited about, because I'm like, oh, Ross will kill before the ice age freezes over the world.
Yeah, well, I got out. I was able to get out Saturday. This past Saturday would have been the 5th. Yeah, the 5th, and it was like 40-mile-an-hour wind, raining. I mean, it was a pretty crappy day, honestly. But
some very tough weather this year.
But I will say that I went ahead and toughed it out anyway, and I sat there thinking this is going to be ridiculous. But I got to see two really nice bucks. I went full draw on two, on one of them twice, and had to let down, just no clear shot. And lots of action that morning. That was good.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
Remember the date on that?
Would have been the 5th.
The 5th.
November 5th. Yep. So then the 6th rolls around, and I go back to the same spot, hoping I can see those deer come back through again. And it's kind of a morning spot anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So I sat in there and
explain. Maybe we'll take this story and elaborate it for just in how you hunted it. Maybe it can help someone. Why would you consider a morning spot?
Well, for one, cameras hit pretty hard there in the mornings, and it's like it's coming up off of. I guess it's in the timber a little ways. It's like a kill plot about 80 yards into the timber from the field edge.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you're not like blowing out a field in the morning on the way there.
Right.
I got you.
Okay. So, and I like to
safer access for a morning spot.
Right. So for access wise, I mean, it's pretty slick. I can walk this fence row and get down to a low spot and then just pop right up into this.
So that's the best
this set.
Yeah. That's like, so. That's as bulletproof as it gets.
And there's I've ran some deer out of the field, you know, a couple of times, but I like to. I don't like to. Excuse me. I don't like to just go parading around in pitch black dark. Like
yeah,
I want to
like you're invisible.
Yeah, like I want to wait to just so you can see with the naked eye. You know, just make sure, and then run binos across the field and before I take off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Otherwise, I so it just normally is a good morning spot. They're kind of coming off the food, kind of working their way back in the timber. They're more or less making their way down, going to get a drink because there's a creek bottom down below. So it's just like kind of like this just staging area, just kind of working their way back in. So
yeah.
And it's on top of a ridge. And a bunch of other ridges kind of connected, just kind of rolls through. So
yeah,
it's like they're
I know what area you're talking about, and it's pretty in there.
Yeah, so it's a sweet spot. So I went back in there and saw lots of deer. That next morning was awesome. So it went into the 6th November, and sun came up, wind wasn't blowing. That was nice.
By the way, that's Clint's birthday.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So I got in the tree, didn't blow. I mean, it was like nobody around.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't blow any deer out. I thought, well, that could be good or bad. Maybe there's no deer moving.
Yeah.
But no, I got to see quite a few does coming. They were walking in right as soon as I got in the tree. It worked out good. And a bunch of turkeys. I think there was like 20 some toms.
Yeah.
Come out. A couple Jakes in there, but they were all over the place. Thought about shooting one. I got two tags in my pocket, and I'm like,
I got a fall turkey tag as well. I'm done doing it with a bow.
Yeah, well, it's just a, I just thought it's gonna mess up a hunt. So
yeah, that's cool. It's cool to shoot one every now and again, you know, in the fall. But
right. So I guess I got to back up real quick and tell you when it was raining, blowing all the day before.
Yeah,
big old long beard come dragging his beard into the food plot. There's does sitting right there, like munching on the side. He walks right by him, all by himself, coming right to him. He comes like 25 yards. So I pull back and whack. So he.
Oh, you
he
did
kinda,
shoot one.
Yeah. So he ends up walking off, like kind of doing something, doing this funky walk. And I'm watching him and I didn't grab another arrow. I was just kind of watching him in the trees swaying. I'm trying to see where he's going, how far he's going to make it before he tips over. And he walks like 10, 12 yards and he walks right past like the 160 inch 10 point. Just standing there looking at
him. Did you know that buck was there?
No. I'm following the turkey, and all of a sudden I'm like, "Go!" Jeez, grab another arrow, and I anyway. So then he had one broke off on his three, just a little bit of break on top.
Yeah,
but he was a solid, you know, 50, 60 bucks somewhere in there, and he was putting nose and nose does around. And I hurry up, grab another arrow, and the wind's blowing so hard, mapping them isn't really working. So,
yeah.
I mean, and I don't want to scream at him and scare him.
Right. Mapping him. Okay.
Like, map. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I go to full draw, and with the wind blowing, like, I have shooting lanes, but these branches are just dancing all over the place, and I'm swaying back and forth.
It's not a good time.
I have my feet out to the end of the stand, like, with
trying
my
to
back
stable
against
yourself.
The tree, just holding tight, like, full draw. Like
that's the still. Worst. So scary, too. Even if you're strapped in, it's scary.
So I'm like, map. Nothing. Map. And he finally stopped, like he might have heard something, and he kind of looked around. Of course, he's got a tree right in front of him.
So yeah.
And then I had to let down, and then he turned around, and he nosed some does around a little bit more, and I thought he was going to hit another hole. It was like 38 yards. Went to full draw again, and the doe starts taking off at a pretty good trot, and he caught right back up on her. Like, just, he run right through that hole. And I'm like, well...
That's how it goes.
So that was fun. So then he goes over that doe that he was after, beds down right on this ridge. So it was a south wind, and the way I was telling it goes into this creek bottom. Well, this big rolling ridge before it goes down the creek bottom would be north facing, all those deer went over and bedded right on the edge of that
to get out of the wind.
Just so that all that wind's hitting them in the back, so they can just look north and protect themselves that way.
Right.
But anyways, they all sat down, lay down, and he just stood over top of her for a little while, and I was just watching through my binos.
How far, roughly?
They were probably 70, 80 yards in there.
Perfect loophole distance to just observe. Yeah.
So I'm watching, and then he starts acting all squirrely, and he starts going in circles, and pretty soon he starts walking away, and I'm like, what's he doing? And
sorry, I feel like I have ticks crawling all over me from your buck.
I'm sorry. All of a sudden, this big old rack just appears out from behind a tree, and he's making a big old rub, just showing off. Anyway, he ran that deer off, and he was pretty good. So like, I was going to shoot that deer.
Yeah.
And this is a bigger one. It was just a perfect 10-pointer.
No
and
kidding.
Chocolate horn. Yeah, he was.
Do you know these deer? Are they surprised?
I've got pictures of them. Yeah.
Of both of them?
Yeah. So I know who they are. I just didn't think I'd see both of them together.
Right. Especially there. After cracking a turkey.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding. And
that's hilarious.
And it's like terrible weather. I don't know what they're up and just
doing. Like when the doe's hot, they're up.
Yeah. They don't care. They just go. Yeah. So anyways, all that went on. They ended up going down over to the creek later on. And once they did that, I saw my window and I bailed out of there. And I went back, got something to eat, and then went came back and sat again.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next morning, I'm in the tree, and I got in there nice and slick, and I was working really good. Here come all these turkeys. I didn't shoot. I just watched them play. But there was two yearlings and a mature doe,
mm-hmm.
I guess. They were in there feeding and jacking around. Well, the two yearlings started messing with these toms, and they were, like, dancing. You know, you've seen how they jump up and down like a bunch of kids playing.
Yeah, it's like puppies.
And it's funny because the turkeys were all posturing up at them, like, don't mess with me.
And it's like, all right. Anyway. Turkeys are cool. Turkeys are significantly less cool in the fall, though.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And no disrespect to any turkeys out there listening, but.
Yeah, well.
I just saw a bunch the other day. I'm just like, man, you're so much cooler in the spring.
Yeah, yeah, they are.
It's just different.
So, anyways, I let all that kind of happen, go on, and then it got real slow, like nothing moving. And I thought, I've got my lunch packed, so I really wanted to just get out of there and go to my midday spot.
Yeah.
So I got my morning spot.
That's fun to do
spots.
A morning and then a midday sit and then move again. For
I was
afternoon.
Going to, but I ended up staying. So I made the move real quick. I was out of the tree and back in a tree. And
that keeps you fresh though,
15
too.
15 minutes. Yeah. Good to get out and stretch my legs a little bit. But I flew over. So I was out of the tree for 15 minutes, basically mm-hmm. 20 minutes and got up in there. Would have been like right at 11 o'clock. And I thought, well, I'll sit here and just see what happens. Well, nice young buck come cruising through. And then another, I saw, and it was nothing for a little while. They ended up being like 10 minutes till 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in 2020, I shot my 202 out of the spot.
Yep.
And it was right at 2:05 that I ended up killing him.
Oh, was that early in the afternoon?
Mm-hmm. So this was, I'm sorry, that. This was 10 till 2. I think is what I said. So
are you? Do you check your time? Watch, like you're looking at a watch, checking your phone.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm wearing a watch.
It's about 2 o'clock. Oh, you are wearing a watch.
Yeah.
It's about 2 o'clock. This is when the big boy showed. You still run that through your head?
I'm watching it. Watching my clock. I'm like, somebody's gonna move anytime now. So then this big old 8-pointer comes rolling up through. Same trail. Same everything. And I was doing the same thing. I was jacking around on my phone and checking DeerCast.
Hey, anything to do to help pass you sit the out time. There.
Yeah. So I'm like, I just happened to look up and I see him cruising. I'm like, oh, perfect. Drop it in the bag, pulled out my grunt call, stood up. Same trees, everything, all the same. I'm like, this is just awesome. I'm going to repeat. And I burp, burp, burp.
Yeah.
And nothing. I'm like, I'll try that again.
Gave you the finger.
He just kind of like looked over. But it was wind blowing pretty decent. I thought, well, he didn't hear me or something. I've hit it again. Nothing. I'm like, all right, fine. I'm going to snort wheeze at him. So I did, and he just looked over my direction and just kept on rolling.
Do one of these?
Yep. So I'm like, well, that's fine. So I'll sit back down.
That's fine. Okay.
Never mind.
You pull your phone back out. Yep. Start swiping.
Start swiping again. So anyways, that 2 hours went by, nothing. And I start looking. Just start, you know, lollygagging around, looking, making sure somebody wasn't trying to sneak up on me. The wind was shifting, so it started out as a southwest, and it was turning, and it was basically straight west and going to end up as a northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm good on all that because I'm sitting up on top of a ridge, and it's a big downhill slide, and all these trails are down below me. I'm a little nervous, obviously, but I've got a stiff enough wind that it's not going to linger and fall. And the sun was out, so I had thermals working for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, even if they do come right down, you know, below me, I'm still going to be okay. So
that's a good feeling, man, when you don't have to stress about your wind.
Yeah.
Nothing sucks and you're like, ugh, I'm slicing her here.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like that's when you're going to see one if you're slicing, you know, because that's when they're going to move that way or whatever. But I know you're saying
it. You need it to be there, but it's got to be in their favor and yours at the same time. So
that's which is confusing. Is really hard. See the podcast we did about quartering winds.
Yeah.
Right. AKA whiskey wind.
Mm-hmm. So look, I'm starting to look around and I see this big 8-pointer coming right at me and coming right down the fence from where he had already rolled over the hill before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was grunting at him and snort wheezed. Now he's coming back, but it's 2 hours later, almost 2 hours to the tee.
Just checking.
Yeah, and I'm looking at my foot, my watch. I'm like, 2 hours. I know he was down.
What were you doing for 2 hours?
You heard me 2 hours ago.
You heard me, and now you're coming back?
Yeah. So he went. So I think there's a bunch of scrapes down this bottom. Like he rolled over the ridge, went down the creek bottom. There's a bunch of does hanging out down there. He checked all of them, came back, just still on the prowl. So
yeah.
He's coming right down, right like I say, like right down in my 30-yard shooting lane, basically.
Yeah.
But the wind is rolling about 15, 16, 18 mile an hour, somewhere in there.
That's a fair amount. That's like just over what I think is like a perfect wind.
Yeah, I agree. It was just a little breezy.
Touch more, yeah.
But then it would just completely like go to a standstill a couple of times, and I'm like, this isn't going to be good. And then it picked back up. Well, it picked up when it needed to because he was coming. So
yeah.
Anyways, he's coming down the line. I could see him. And then his antlers, he'd go behind a tree, and I could see him. And the sun's just blowing him. Like he's blown out bright coming through the woods. It's really cool. And I saw his big old tall tines on his right side. And two and three. And I thought, man, it's too good of a buck to just let him stroll by himself.
Especially as an eight-pointer?
He has an eight, yeah. So I went to full draw. I thought I was going to get caught because the sun's on me, and he's walking, you know, my direction. And I move, and it's just, I'm on a spotlight, basically. If you were to look up, I'm skyline all aura. Day.
You have like a purple aura, like Prince.
Yeah. So I thought I got caught. I didn't, and I went to full draw, and I mapped at him again. So there's wind whipping around. I'm evidently not mapping loud enough. I'm like, map, and he didn't stop. Like, he's still walking. I'm like, I'm going to lose my
shooting window
here.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, map, like barked at him. And he stopped and he turned. As soon as he stopped, there's this brand. I could see it. I was looking through the peep, settling in the pen, and I could see this little sticker branch just hanging right there in the 10 ring.
Of course.
I'm like, well, buddy, I'm going to put this one right in the middle.
Yeah.
And I squeezed that branch as tight as I could and stayed behind it, punched it. I mean, everything went off just like it should. I hit exactly where I was aiming. But when it hit him, I mean, it was dead center middle. Like, you couldn't get any more middle of this deer. And, but when it hit him, it was like, poof.
Like pop.
Yeah, like a pop. So that's diaphragm.
Mm-hmm.
I just confident that it was diaphragm. I knew it was one lung liver, hoping for lung.
Yeah.
I knew it was 100% liver, but I thought diaphragm.
Yeah.
Just from the sounds of it, the way he ran off. But yeah, the arrow just blew right through, no problem. And I thought, I'm like, so he jumps ahead 30 yards. And he stands there, and he starts wicking his tail back and forth, like really hard, but looking over his shoulder, like, where'd that...
What was that? Yeah.
He wasn't sure. He was just kind of wicking his tail, looking around, looking where he was headed, looking back where he came from. Like,
what was that?
And then, so.
I swear they don't even know.
No.
Like, when you get a passer like that, they're just like.
Yeah. He just, what was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's sitting there. I watch him. So the leaves are all blowing. The sun's out. And it couldn't have, if it would have been another 25 minutes, the sun would have been down just far enough that I could have got eyes on him easy and stayed on him.
Yeah.
But I couldn't because the leaves are blowing and it's all yellow leaves.
There's a lot going on.
And I'm looking through the binos and it's just, he's back in the shadows and I got to look through this bright tree. Anyways, I could see him standing there and I took my eyes off the binos for a second and then I got back on him. Couldn't get
him. Couldn't get him back, dude.
And I got down on one knee and I was trying to look under the branches.
In the stand?
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to just anything so I can get eyes on him. I wanted to know if he's going to tip over. Or what his body
walking
doing?
Slow or whatever, yeah.
So I backed out of there. I pulled up deer tracker. I was like, all right. Deer cast track. So I pulled that up, put it right there. You know, it's an awesome option that you can sit there and watch.
It's the best.
I was very confident I wasn't going in after this deer that night.
Yeah.
But I had a pretty dang good idea that he was going to be dead.
For sure.
In about an hour. I was going to say an hour. So the next morning we went in which is a good move.
Yeah.
And went in and found blood. I grabbed my arrow and then found blood, walked over. We could see where he was standing. He's going out both sides. And then, but there wasn't one leaf unturned or turned over. He just slow walked all the way down.
Yeah.
But you can see it dripping out both sides. So I'm like, well, he can't be going too far. And we just went to the bottom of the ridge, like 85 yards, 90 yards. And he's just laying there just perfect
stiff.
Yeah. And his on his forehead was all frosted over, so I mean he'd He'd been
dead a while.
Yeah, he died.
There's a lesson in it though. Like you were unsure. You knew you were able to watch the arrow, check where you hit. You knew he's gonna die, but you didn't go in and get antsy and ruin it. You could have made a mess for yourself.
Well, another thing to think about is when they're, you know, let's say it's opening day and you put a shot on that like that. You can wait an hour, maybe wait 2 hours, maybe wait three, just to be safe.
Yeah,
you could probably go in and that deer's gonna be dead, but you go in with all this adrenaline they got going.
They're kind of zombies right now.
Yeah, they're just, and you, like, what is it? You know, first bed, the deer's dead. I mean, as long as you don't
mess it up, don't bump them or something right. like that, yeah.
So I guess I thought, well, I know he's going to be expired down there. It's going to be just right. So anyways, we go down there. There he was laying there dead, pretty excited, really pumped.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he's good, man. I'm really fun hunt, just a great day, lots of action.
Yeah.
In the morning watching those deer and turkeys, and it was just fun, and it's just a perfect November day.
Yeah,
so just being in the woods and getting away from working. And
right now when this podcast launches, for people listening to this, this is getting you antsy when I get out there. It looks like the weather's going to be great for our area anyway,
right,
the day this launches. So looking at the forecast, but no, man, describe the deer itself, like physically.
Oh, he's just a really nice mainframe 8-pointer, had like a little sticker. He's got like an acorn in his main beam. It's kind of weird.
It's almost like
it bulges out.
It's like a bulge. Like they got pressure in right there, and it just.
Yeah, I mean that. So that was kind of cool. He had tall G2s, G3s were good.
Good brows.
Yeah, nice brows. It's just a nice looking 8-pointer.
Great 8-pointer.
Yep.
Yeah. Stud. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a way to get her done, Ross, in November.
Yeah. Now I'm gonna sit back and.
Were you holding out for a big one, a bigger one?
Yeah, I've got a couple deer on camera that I'm really anxious to get caught up with. But
so let's talk some strategy then. Is your plan now having a really great buck down and you got some meat and everything going? Mm-hmm. What's the?
I'm gonna start. I'm gonna watch.
Lee was calling me. I wonder if he shot something.
Oh,
I don't know though.
So I'm gonna watch. You know, I'll be watching deer cast and just figuring out when the best time's going to be and yep. lines up with my schedule. And I'm going to go if I can.
For sure.
And it all, you know, it's all perfect. That's.
Are you holding out for a bigger buck than the one you shot or just mature or.
Definitely bigger than the one I shot. And there's several that I've got my eye on.
Yeah. Like the two bucks, the turkey bucks.
Yeah. Those two. There's two more. Actually, there's four. Mm-hmm. There's four of them that I know of that have been pretty consistent on camera, but, mm-hmm. and they're all on that spot. They all hit the same camera.
Really?
Yeah. It's weird, but
great. I mean, say great awesome. Problems, but it's not a problem.
No, it's all good. I'm just anxious. I want to get on one of them.
But. I feel anxious too. You know, as we're recording this today, the weather was hot.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's not supposed to be the best, but like, it looks like the forecast coming into the weekend, into next week, you know, the day this launches and after right now, unless it changes, is looking really good.
Yeah, I think so too. And a cold front coming in, all that.
Yeah.
It's going to be good. I really like my late season hunts for sure, because new guys roll in.
Are you going to back off and wait till late season hit?
No, I'll still hunt pop when in good. When I can.
Yeah,
when it's good. And yeah, I mean that's my plan. If I can, you know, you get newcomers show up or surprise bucks.
Yeah,
you know, the ones you had in velvet, they disappear and then they come back in late season. And
yeah,
I really enjoy that part of it. But
so if you had to take like one takeaway from this hunt, like. What got that buck killed? If you had to pick, someone was like, pick one thing from this hunt that got that buck killed. I know what it is from hearing your story, from my perspective.
Yeah.
And I can tell you first, or if you want me to tell you after.
Tell me first, or I'm trying to figure out what you're thinking.
I was going to say you put time in the stand.
That's key.
Like you didn't go home and lollygag. Like you got out.
I don't know that if I hadn't been there at 10 till 2, you know, I had some other guys I was talking to, and they were still at home getting ready to head back out, and they didn't get in the stand until like 2:15, 2:30.
Yeah.
Well, that buck would already been through there, and
they never
and I don't know if it helped him decide to come back and check 2 hours later.
Like maybe heard the grunts.
My grunts. Yeah, he heard the grunts and the snort wheeze, and then he went and checked the does that he knew were there, and then thought, I'll go back up there and see what's going on.
Yeah, maybe there's a doe over there or something. And
I mean, maybe. But had I not been there.
Well, that's what I mean. Maybe he's like, there's a buck with a doe. Let's go back. I don't know if they think that way, but.
I would think they do, but yeah, I don't know.
So I was going to say just like time in the stand when it's the right conditions.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's tough to do when it's like pouring rain and its wind is 40 mile an hour. That's not fun.
No.
It's
that was that was, I mean, it's a long sit. And I had my back's getting stiff. And
sore right now. I've been doing some all-day sits. Yeah. All-day sits is in, you know, it doesn't mean I sit in the same stand all day.
You're going from tree to tree.
Yeah, what I did, I did jump down, went to the truck, grabbed lunch, got refreshed, stretched my back out, and then went right back out. So
right.
I'd get down at 11. I'd be back in the stand by noon.
Yeah.
And
you can kind of watch that moon phase too, because the deer are going to start moving different times. And as we get into November, like we are, the middle of November, it seems like they really start to move midday. Yeah. I've talked about that a lot, but so then maybe you want to get in there at like 8:30 or 9 and then sit till 3 or 3:30.
You've said that for years on our show.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah. I mean, and I've been very, very successful doing it like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, you've killed several bucks.
And I call it my midday spot. I mean, it's just a cruising spot. Yeah. I know there's bedding areas on both sides of me, and I'm just like on the back of that cruising. I mean, it's an interstate.
Yeah.
And like a deer interstate.
It just looks like I've been in that spot before. It just looks like a spot that it feels like it's ambitious for you to want to be there all day.
Yep.
Like there's some spots, and like I don't know how you feel about this. Sometimes you kind of get like, I'm just not feeling it. Like sometimes, like I'll be honest, I hunted this morning and I just was not feeling it.
Yeah.
I got down early. I was like, oh, I got other stuff I got to do.
Yep.
So I got down early, and then of course then you get a picture of a buck cruising when you didn't think there would be one cruising.
That's the way it works. Over the years though, in this spot or other spots too, but and just learning, you know, just figuring out the whole game of killing whitetail.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken a lot of screwed up situations where I should have been there sooner. I should have stayed longer. I should have all that.
Right.
So I've walked in on that ridge. I've blown some monsters out of their beds, laying right on top of that thing.
Right.
And walking in at 1:15.
Yeah. And you should have been in there.
And I thought I was getting there early. You know what I mean? I was like, dang,
what's going on here?
So he probably came in there and bedded down at 10 o'clock and he was going to hang out till whatever. And then I come blew him out of his bed.
Yeah.
So
it's, you know, and I think I don't want people to listen to this and be like, man, that spot, I'm going to sit there all day. Not every spot is meant to sit all day. Some spots are special like that.
That's right.
Like, I think if you got, like you're saying, like a hardwood draw between two bedding areas.
Yeah.
It's probably the spot to sit all day during the rut.
Definitely. Oh yeah. And any kind of pinch points or funnels or anything, you know.
Yeah.
And you can find all that stuff, whether you're going to go out there right now or you're doing it. I mean, your best time to scout for those trails and intersections is after season's over in January or shed season.
Everything's beat down. You can see.
Right. And they're stomping through the snow. You can see all their tracks. I mean, it's,
yep.
I don't think that their trail system changes that much from rut to just
not a ton. I mean, I just think terrain features is like, I don't want to say it's overlooked by most guys for hunting whitetails, but, you know, when I think about all the deer I've killed,
yeah,
I would say a terrain feature of some kind is probably my main focus and like subconsciously maybe, but like, you know, a pinch point or, a hole in like a fence row between two fields where like a two track is in and out. Like,
right.
And there's spot, and I've noticed in the past there are spots where I'm just like, deer aren't going to go through there. It's out in the open. Da, da, da. I need to be deep in the woods.
Right.
And I always went deep in the woods. And then it was like, since I've kind of adjusted that and went like, there's a hole in this field to that field.
Yep.
It seems too obvious almost.
Right.
Since I started hunting that stuff, I feel like my success rate and sightings have gone up significantly.
And it's wild how things change too. If they've got a big beat down trail, that a tree falls down it, and they're going to be going around it, and you can use that to your advantage too.
Yeah.
Or you drop the tree on the trail to push them a little bit closer to you.
I'm going
to
be doing that on a smaller piece that I just got, and I had a really big 8 hug the edge of this terrain feature that was too far out.
Yep.
And I'm like, man, what can I do to make sure that doesn't happen again?
Mm-hmm.
It's not too far out, but the shot is not.
The tree you need to be in is the one you're in. You just need that.
100%.
Yep.
And I'm like, what can I do when I had on this piece, there's a bunch of brush I need to clean up anyway.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'll just put a bunch of brush right there.
Mm-hmm.
Seems silly. And maybe some people are like, oh, that's BS. It's manufacturing a spot, but so is food plots.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of stuff. I mean, if you,
so that's my,
how deep you want to go on that, but it's,
that's my spring, main terrain feature plans for this area.
I don't think that's wrong at all. I think it's just, I mean,
and moving brush.
You could give a million different examples, but
well, people hinge cut trees.
Can, like, yeah, you can hinge cut. You can make bedding. You can. It doesn't. That's all a part of the game.
Yeah.
And if you're tweaking your property to make them roll a little bit different through there, I mean, that's just.
Yes, what it is.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Well, dude, I'm pumped, man. I'm pumped for you.
Yeah, thanks.
And there's still a lot of season left.
Yep.
I'll be curious to see how hard you get after it. You know, here in the next 10-day forecast, but
yeah,
it's going to get good. I'm excited for it.
Yep. Me too. I really am. I hope everybody's successful. It's a great year. And I will say I've been blessed to see a lot of good bucks running around this year.
Yeah.
I mean, probably the most really good, well, shooter wise, this is the most shooters I've had in a while, on camera going into the season. And that's the ones I have on camera. I don't know if there's any other ones, but
yeah.
Overall though, like it's been a couple weeks ago, I saw like 130 inch deer, but times like I think it was 8 of them all hit this field. They were all making
130 inch bucks.
Yeah, all 130 inch deer, and they're all 3-year olds, and they all just, everybody's making a scrape.
Wow. And then, really?
And then I got to watch the best buck fight I've ever seen. A 4-year old come out, and he's just a big old.
When was this? What?
It's been what was it? Would have been November 2nd. November 1st, somewhere in there, beginning of November.
Everybody's out partying.
Oh, yeah. It was, so the does were in the field. The bucks really weren't chasing the does yet. I mean, they were going around checking on the little ones were, but yeah. The big boys were all just, or the 3-year olds, they were all just scraping, you know, all that kind of stuff. They weren't.
That's exciting.
And then, so these two are over there, they're just kind of tossing antlers around playing, and they kind of stop, and then they're licking each other's face. And then this 4-year old shows up. And this 1-3 walked all the way across the field to meet up with him. And, man, they went into it. And I bet it was a 4 to 5 minute fight.
No kidding.
They wouldn't quit. And they were hitting hard. That 3-year-old thought he had something. But, I mean, the body size.
Didn't have the ass.
Huge, yeah. There's just a huge difference between a 3-year-old and a 4-year-old.
It's been a long time since I've seen two bucks, like, really fight.
Yeah.
And I've only seen it maybe a handful of times.
He got his
couple times.
He got his antlers up over the top. And pushed, come down on his neck, like right on our shoulder.
Oh,
blades,
yeah.
And was shoving him in the ground.
That's got to be so painful.
It was awesome, though, because I'm watching through the binos. I wish I had a camera so I could have filmed it, but I'm watching through the binos, and they have that look in their eye when they're just going at it. And then he got him on the ground and wouldn't let him get up, and he was flopping around trying to get his feet underneath him.
Oh, no kidding.
And he had that, oh, no.
Oh, look, I'm getting had.
Yeah, I want out of here right now. Yeah, and he wouldn't let him. It was good.
A guy when I was growing up hunting in camp shot a buck, and I remember it hanging. We had an old like, I don't know what it was, like an old antenna tower.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about, the triangle towers.
Yep.
What are they?
It's an antenna tower,
like a TV antenna.
Yeah,
tower. That's all they are.
Yeah.
One of those was outside of the building that we made into like a makeshift hunting cabin, and we used to hang all our deer from that.
Okay.
Yeah. Tower thingy, whatever. And I remember it hanging on there, and he goes, "Look at this buck's ass," and there was two holes on each side in both hams. So you could tell he got in a brawl.
He got rammed.
And on his way out, the other buck just said, whoop, right in.
There's one more for you.
Yeah, and it was about, I remember it vividly, and it was like bloody.
Oh, so
it was
boy.
A couple days, a day old maybe.
Yeah.
And it was thick tine in the ham.
Oh, man.
Can you imagine what that would feel like?
He wasn't having a good time at all.
No.
They hate that.
I mean, you feel an antler, and it's like, can you imagine? Or you get like certain bucks that have a point that's like, wow, you grew an advantage.
Yeah.
There. Just taking, you imagine taking a G2 to the top of the forehead.
Oh, yeah. That's, yep.
It'd cave you.
It's wild, though. I mean, if you look at different rack styles, I mean, like I've got one deer on the wall that's so tight, he couldn't get around a 2-inch sapling to make a rub.
You wonder if like some of them deer just even fight.
You yeah, know, I don't
know. Does every deer, do you think every buck gets into a brawl?
And when they're younger, probably, but I would think that when they get older,
they're selective.
They just know that they're king dingling. They don't need to.
Yeah,
they don't have to fight.
I guess it all depends on the attitude of the other deer, the challenger.
Somebody will challenge at some point, but I wouldn't think it'd last long.
Makes you wonder, each deer for whatever rack he has at that time,
right?
Did he fight with that rack or not?
Yeah.
And do they get so big that they don't need to fight, like you're kind of saying?
Right.
It's just like an intimidation factor. Like, look, I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Here's my crown.
And there's not very many I mean, there is some deer out there that are big with big racks, and they're mature. They're 5 year olds, and they just want to fight. Busted up
bucks. Yeah, two's busted off.
Yep.
Oh, I saw a buck. This was one of those deer the other day. I could not tell if he was a mature buck,
yeah,
or a young buck that was scrappy, but his right side was broke off just below the brow tine.
Whoa.
Yeah. You can see
right below the brow, or right after.
So
he had his brow tine.
The burr to where the brow tine would be,
yeah,
it was busted off. He had no brow tine.
Ooh.
From the burr to, you could see it started to curve up.
Yep.
And it was broke off.
Dang.
So yep. And he's one of those deer I'm looking, I'm like, I can't tell if that deer is like old and just a bully.
Yeah.
Or really young. He was with two smaller bucks.
Yeah, that's that's true.
And he was kind of nudging them around, like, I'm not
as tough as I once was.
I could not tell. He's just, maybe he was a phony, but he had one beam was broke off.
Dang. Yeah. Maybe you can find it somewhere.
I ain't doing that. I ain't looking.
No.
Maybe I'll find it during shed season. Right. It'll be all gone.
That'd be neat.
Well, cool, man. Well, congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is fun. Glad we got to do a quick podcast. Yep. And I imagine you're going to be back at it. I'm going to be back at it. Hopefully everybody else is back at it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really it. You got anything else you want to add?
Oh, just good luck to everybody this year. I mean, it's... Get out there and have fun. Make some memories.
Yeah. And everyone, thanks for the feedback. We've been getting the messages of you guys shooting deer and using deer casts and letting us know about it. So much appreciated. Thank you.
Yep.
And keep that coming. And get out there. When the time is good, spend as much time as you can in the stand.
That's right.
And my family is taking a toll on my hunting lately.
Yeah.
My daughter's just here crying her eyes out.
Yep.
So it's time for daddy to probably fill a tag this weekend and then...
Go back to being dad.
Kick it.
Yeah.
It sounds like I just haven't been a dad because I've been hunting. It's not
feels
true.
Like it at times.
Right now it feels like it. I feel like a bad dad right now, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
That's that work-life family balance with hunting mixed in. Just like we talked about the last episode you're on.
Yep. That's right.
Cool. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Thanks, everyone, watching, listening. You know what to do. Go shoot a giant. We love you.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me.
He's jumping.
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.